Welcome to Two Guys, a Girl and a Movie Podcast with Adam, Lee and Josie, your hosts, taking an analysis of some beloved movies, both blockbuster and lackluster. Grab a bowl of popcorn and see if their collective score and analysis matches your views. It's time for Two Guys, a Girl and a Movie Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Two Guys, a Girl and a Movie Podcast. My name is Adam.
Oh, I almost said I'm Lee.
And I'm Josie.
An amazing start.
I don't know why.
It must be your first day, Josie.
Oh, it must be.
Wowee. Okay, and we are here to talk all things movies, both good, bad, and everything in between. We're on all forms of social media. Look us up on X, on Facebook, and on Instagram. Give us a like and a follow. We're on all podcasting platforms as well. Give us feedback, and also let us know if there's any movies that you'd like to hear us talk about. Today, though, I guess it's a bit of a big one for the show, right? It's our first ever MCU Marvel movie.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Before we get started, though, can we... I feel like we kind of glossed over the fact that Josie's been doing this pod for almost a year now and just couldn't get the introduction correct.
You mean she forgot what her name was?
It's been a big week, guys.
We're asking the big questions here on this pod.
Oh, it's a shamble. Absolute shamble up in this brain of mine.
That's okay. So today, our first ever Marvel movie, or Marvel Studios movie, which essentially is part of what is known as the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We're doing The Incredible Hulk from 2008. It is directed by Louis Leterrier. Is that what
Leterrier?
You say? Leterrier? Leterrier sounds a lot better. Okay, so Bruce Banner, a scientist on the run from the US government, must find a cure for the monster he turns into whenever he loses his temper. This was 2008, and I guess I was going to save it for later, but it's kind of like what's known as a requel, right? Because there was a 2003 Ang Lee Hulk movie with Eric Banner. Mm-hmm. This is a follow-up to that whilst also kind of like a soft reboot.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if it's in your fun facts or anything, but does anyone know why Ed Norton doesn't continue on? Why there isn't
anymore? I will touch on that. Okay. It's actually quite a big story.
Yeah. All right then.
So this movie came out in 2008 and was part of the second movie in the long run of the MCU.
Yeah, it is technically second, right?
Yeah. Iron Man came out like a month before it. Yeah. We were unsure about this, which is why we did this one.
And we probably should have checked it.
Probably should have.
But as I said, people go by the timeline, the MCU timeline, and it says for Hulk to be first.
They say that Captain America 1 should be first because it's set in the
40s. But before Iron Man. Does it say it for Hulk to be before?
Do they say that though?
I'm pretty sure.
I think that's fucking stupid anyway, because if you don't watch it in release order, all the post-credit scenes don't add up.
Yeah, that's why.
That's true.
Just because obviously the intro, if you haven't seen the film, then massive spoiler alerts ahead, right? But if you're not familiar with the Iron Man trope or what's going on with Iron Man, then the end credit scene doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go through each person's relationship with the movie. I want to start with you, Lee.
Okay, 2008... I'm pretty sure I saw this at the movies. I remember watching the original Ang Lee version of it, or not the original Ang Lee version of it, but obviously the one that Ang Lee did obviously in 2003. I remember watching that in the movies thinking, oh, you know, it's a Marvel film. And look, I'm a Marvel fan from way back.
You are?
Used to read the comics still read the comics every now and again. And look, obviously the Hulk is probably one of the better known comic book characters that are out there as far as the Marvel universe is concerned. So when they brought it back to the big screen again, it was like, yeah, okay, well, it's time to line up and give it a bash. And to be honest with you, I'm pretty sure I saw it at the movies, and I've watched it again. It's part of the MCU rewatch that you find yourself doing. But to be honest with you, it's eh.
Do you think it's better than 2003's Hulk?
It's a different movie.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it's so different.
It's such a different movie.
I think it is different. I think it's vastly better, though.
It's such a different take. And look, with that being said, though, I'm sure that we'll get into it a little bit later, but my gripe about it, interestingly enough, is that I love the fact that they brought Abomination into this.
Oh, hell yeah.
As an antagonist, I love the fact that they brought the Abomination into it. And they also obviously introduce you to the leader as well, right? Yeah.
There's lots of nods to different bits.
Heaps, yeah.
But with that being said, I'm not a huge fan of Tim Roth as the Abomination.
Okay, interesting. Mm. We'll be touching that when we get to the categories. Jose, your relationship with the Incredible Hulk.
Before I get into it, I did look at the timeline and no, even with the other way of doing it, release or with the timeline, Hulk is still first. After Iron Man.
Or after.
So it says Captain America first, Avenger, then Captain Marvel, then Iron Man, then Incredible Hulk.
That's just such a stupid idea, and I'm sorry if people love doing things in that way, but watching Captain Marvel second makes no sense.
I've done both. It's also
a completely different tone.
Well, I mean, you could also almost have that argument about which way to watch Star Wars, right?
Release order again.
Geez.
Release order.
Yeah, look.
You have to watch everything in release order. It's how it's fucking intended.
I was talking to Adam about this the other day, and he was like, but make sure it's in the correct order. I was like, yeah, yeah, of course. And he's like, do you know what order? And I was like, release order?
Anyway.
Anyway, sorry, with which kind of connects to how I know it. Years and years ago, my ex-boyfriend, decided to do the whole Marvel watch, as Lee was just talking about. So we went from start to finish.
Whenabouts was this? What movies?
Just before Endgame, I believe. So
that's a lot of movies.
Yeah. Well, not just before, but we knew it was coming out that year. So we watched pretty much from the start of the year to the end of the year.
Not to get overly personal about it, but is it like a Netflix and chill kind of watch, or is it
it was like shut the fuck up, we're watching, you know, like we need to understand absolutely everything that happens in Endgame, like
don't touch me, I'm watching a movie.
I need a Hulk smash this, like, get away from me.
That's what she said.
But I'm pretty sure I did the timeline order with him.
Yep.
And then I've done the release order again with myself.
What do you prefer? And I'm not going to have a go at you.
To be honest, it didn't make too much of a difference for me, to be honest.
Oh, well, when you see,
I understand where you're coming from with the post-credit. I actually really love those post-credit scenes.
It's also the tone of these movies is so different from the start to the end.
MCU movies are sort of like, they're almost like nothing films where you sort of watch them and go, yeah, okay, I watched it and it was okay and it was good for what it is. But getting overly excited about it doesn't really, for me, it's not a really big thing. So almost the release order or the watch order that you watch it in is almost moot, if that makes sense. Like, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. And I think with MCU, what works well is that it relates to both the boyfriend and the girlfriend. That's why I think we really enjoyed watching it, because we both enjoyed that type of film. Like, if we are asked to watch a, you know, timeline of Star Wars, I'd be like, fuck no. Whereas the boyfriend probably would be like, hell yeah. I feel with Marvel, it kind of relates to both, you know.
We're going to need to pause the pod for a second.
Star Wars has a lot of female fans, I'll have you know.
I was just about to say
we're going to have to pause the pod for a second because Adam's going to bash you now.
I know. It's probably going to happen quite a bit here and there, but that's okay. We still love each other.
We do. So your relationship with the film.
Oh, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. My relationship was that I only oversaw it was when I was watching from start to finish in the Marvel universe.
So you hadn't seen the Hulk before you did this run through?
No, so...
Okay. What did you think?
I'm trying to remember. I had seen the Eric Banner one and I got excited because I was like, yeah, Aussie, woo.
It's technically not related to this timeline though.
But I was like, I preferred this one. I prefer the Ed Norton one. But I'm a massive Mark Ruffalo fan, so I'm definitely a Mark Ruffalo Hulk
fan. Just on that actually, just really quickly, obviously just the way that you've watched MCU, and I know that you're talking about the rewatch or the, you know, going back from the beginning. What's the first Marvel film that you watched?
Oh, that's a very good question.
So, MCU, we're not talking.
Probably Spider-Man.
No, the reason though, what I'm asking is Avengers up there as one of the first?
It would have been Spider-Man.
We're talking specifically MCU timeline.
Yeah, but no, and what I'm also trying to get at is whether or not you watched Mark Ruffalo first as the Hulk and then have gone back to Eric.
I would have definitely watched the other two before Ruffalo.
Yeah.
So if we're going release order, the first MCU movie. Movies, Iron Man. We're talking that long.
Yeah, but I had already.
Yeah, no. But you're saying Spider-Man was your first. You're talking like Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
No, doesn't count. That
doesn't count.
What was your first MCU movie?
It would have been. I'm gonna have to look at the timeline. You talk about your little relationship, and I'll come back to it and see which one.
So basically, I'm a massive comic fan. I love my comics. I love Marvel as well. One of my earliest memories in life. I don't even know how it happened. Spider-Man's my favorite thing on the planet. I was also a big fan of the Hulk when I was a kid too. So I saw this at the cinemas. Opening weekend. I was like all for it. I watched the like late '90s, early 2000s Marvel movies too, like the old X-Men movies, the old
Oh yeah, I love X-Men.
I was a big fan of those. Obviously, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies were like a massive event for me in my life.
What about like the early late '80s, early '90s Spider-Man with the terrible
It was actually like late '70s, early '80s.
Yeah, okay.
So that is a big reason why I'm a big Spider-Man fan, because I used to watch them ad nauseum as a kid. Like my mum will still tell me how much I used to watch them as a kid. But there was like the cartoons and stuff. My mum always remind me that there wasn't as much merchandise for kids back then.
Yep. Whereas
like
a shame.
Now it's insane.
Oh, because the MCU.
So much.
The MCU,
yeah. Well, anything that existed with Spider-Man on it, I probably had as a kid. But this movie in particular, because obviously we'd had a few before, obviously Iron Man kicked off this new era that they were going to do. When they announced this movie, I was absolutely pumped because I really like Edward Norton. I'm a huge fan of his work, and him being the Hulk, I'm like, sweet, because the 2003 Hulk didn't really land for me. Like the action was good, but the movie was kind of clunky and average, but I liked Ang Lee's direction and how when the scenes changed, it was like comic panels moving. But
it was also not MCU as well, right?
No, none of those movies were. They were all just their own little world.
Well, this one is.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
This one is.
That's why I was more excited for this one, because you had a better actor. You had something that was going to be like part of this joint world.
Yeah, there was
world.
Like there's like a game plan. Or yeah, like, exactly. There's a timeline.
I feel like it's a shame that Mark Ruffalo didn't get a chance to have his own.
There's been a lot of debate about that over the years too.
Okay.
But yeah, I think he should have too. But there's certain aspects that they've done with Ruffalo's Hulk that I don't like, as much as I think he's great. Mm. But yeah, I saw this on the opening weekend that it came out, and I really dug it. I had a great time with it. I'm like, this is the Hulk we should have gotten in 2003.
And what about the transition from, I know that you said that you've got beef with some of the things that Ruffalo does, but how did you feel about the transition from Norton to Ruffalo before the Avengers was actually launched?
So I was heartbroken because I wanted Norton as our Hulk.
Yep.
Because I think he's the best of the three.
You think he sold it?
Yeah, definitely. But when Ruffalo came on board and I saw his first appearance as Banner and Hulk in what was his first appearance? Was it Avengers?
It has to be Avengers.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I was thinking Thor, but that was Hawkeye's first appearance. Yeah. So I saw that and I was like, okay, this guy's great, and I wasn't like I gave up on being mad. But yeah,
you still think that Norton did the best out of the three,
yes,
though?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought he was a better Banner and he was a better
Thor
Hulk.
Was my first MCU film.
I do have an off-topic question to ask you, Adam. Very important.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
If you had to pick between Spider-Man, Star Wars, and Jaws as your favorite thing in the whole wide world, what would you pick?
Oh, that is so cruel to him.
Right?
You're an awful man, Lee.
Oh, I want an answer.
Maybe, how about 1, 2, 3?
Oh,
is that harder?
I know that obviously this pod is obviously a listening pod, right? And just to give the people that are listening to this particular pod an idea of what's happening right now, I can smell the thought process coming
out. Oh, Drew, come back to me.
Come on. Straight off the bat.
Well, it's tough because there's different, like, there's different interpretations of Spider-Man, where Star Wars is one thing.
Yep.
And Jaws is just one singular movie compared to like a franchise and things like that. So that's
come on, first answer off the top of your head. That's the answer.
Spider-Man, Star Wars, Jaws.
Wow. Okay.
That's what I would have expected.
Okay.
Yes, I know my friend.
Even though Jaws is like my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah.
But the thing is,
there's
as well,
layers.
Spider-Man exists in multiple medias in its purest form, right? Like fucking Spider-Man technically isn't a movie character, and you're chuckling it up like crazy right now.
I am
now.
Chuckling it up because I've derailed the pod a little bit, and I apologize
so badly.
To everybody.
So badly.
But to be honest with you, you're taking this answer so seriously, and it was just a question.
Yeah. Spider-Man's not a movie character.
No, well, he is, but he isn't.
He is, but you know what I mean.
I guess the world around Spider-Man is bigger, right? So there's more to him.
Yeah. Go to hell. All right, we have five categories, which is where we get our score out of five. We can give each of these categories a 0, a 0.5, or a full 1 mark. The top one is basic casting.
Just before we get into that, I also want to make mention of Louis Leterrier or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Do you know what he's done?
What has he done?
So I've never heard of him before.
The name
didn't ring any bells.
Didn't jump out
I do
for
love
me.
Names that like the first name and the last name start with the same letter. So I'm for him. Well, I like it.
Alliteration.
Yeah.
Josie's a fan of alliteration. Right.
I'm all for
like
alliteration.
Bruce Banner, for example.
Love it.
Here's an English lesson for you. When it's a vowel, it's assonance.
Oh my God! Proceed.
Anyway, moving on. Lewis Lederer wouldn't pick him from a lineup. Never heard of the name before, and it's not names. And I'm like, and normally I'm all about directors. I've watched a couple of movies in my day, so there are names that you sort of hear floating around. Now You See Me.
Oh yeah, I like those films.
Which is a relatively big film.
I feel like
right?
there's so a new one coming out soon, or there's talks about it.
They're talking about it. Clash of the Titans.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I mean, again, it's still a reasonably big film.
It
right?
was a big film, regardless of how good it was.
The Transporter.
Ooh.
With Jason Statham.
Okay, yeah.
Right? I love Jason Statham.
Now we're cooking.
So, okay, all of a sudden, now you're sort of going, okay, now all of a sudden he's got some reasonable credits to his name. Here's the big one. I've saved it till last. He's the director of Fast X.
No.
Oh, no.
Really?
So does that mean he's doing 11 as well?
I don't know. I think wasn't there talks about the other guy doing it?
James Wan?
Yeah. And there was
because they're so continued onto each other.
Yeah, it literally says to be continued.
But you know what?
It's like such a non-ending.
It blew my mind. Like when I was looking at some of the things that this guy had done, I looked at that and I'm like, oh my God, how do I not know about this?
Yeah, crazy. Honestly, like it matters really.
Yeah,
the Fast movies could be
family.
You know, funnily interesting enough, remember I said before about sort of the MCU movies are sort of eh, and they're sort of whatever, you watch them and then they're done kind of thing?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Fast X or the Fast and the
Look,
Furious
I agree,
franchise.
I'm still going to watch them, but like your dog or your like young daughter could direct a Fast movie. Like it doesn't,
just as long as there's family in it, it's fine.
Exactly, and there would be because it's family. All right, basic casting. We want Lee last because he always has the deepest. Josie, you want to start or you want me to start?
You can go, my love.
All right, cast went 0.5. And as we should say, before recording sessions, Lee and I had a gigantic argument about this category.
We didn't have an argument. We had a beef.
We
had a conversation.
This category is about the performances of the casting, not just the level of how big a name the casting is. You absolute clown.
All I'm saying is that it has an impact on the score.
It does.
It has to have an impact on the score.
You know, what's the good of having a bunch of great names who act like crap when you can have like people you've never heard of who do amazing work?
And again, that's impacting on the score. That's exactly the point that I'm talking about.
Well, when we go for basic plot and story, we're not grading the writers, are we?
Well, yeah, we have to, surely.
You know what I'm saying, though, dickhead. It's not like the high profile writer.
I'm going
like
to rip apart Stan Lee for this particular for this particular pod.
All right, I went 0.5. I love Edward Norton. My mum took me to the cinema to go see Primal Fear because she's a Richard Gere fan.
I think you're going to say Fight Club, but I was like, well done.
No, I went to see that with my mates and got really baked. I'll touch on Fight Club soon. Primal Fear was the debut of Edward Norton, and if you haven't seen that movie, he slays it in that movie. You're familiar, Lee?
I am.
Joyce?
Hard no. No idea.
Still, while he is fantastic in Primal Fear, I still don't rate it as his best film.
Oh, it's easily not his best, but nonetheless. Fight Club is a massive favourite of mine. I love that movie when it came out. I was at the right age for it, the demographic and all that.
Have you read the book?
No, okay. I've read number two though.
That's weird.
Random.
It's don't bother. Okay. So I think he's a great Banner. Yep. And plays the part really well, especially with his like, you know, he does like kind of like nervous guy energy. Like it's no wonder Woody Allen casted him before. But I feel that he doesn't really get to cook at the level that I feel he is able to. You know what I mean? Like I feel like a lot of people in this that do have great acting chops are kind of a bit dampened because it's like, oh no, don't go to, you know, you're not trying to win an Oscar. You're playing this, you know, this scientist who turns into a green monster. He's definitely my favorite Banner though. I think Liv Tyler's hot. You know, obviously remember her from Lord of the Rings and Empire Records and all, but her acting's never been outstanding.
No, and that's a fair assessment.
I love Liv Tyler.
I'm not saying she's bad, but I'm not saying you haven't looked at anything she's done and gone, that is an amazing performance.
Yeah, there's never been a situation where you're like, that's going to win an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else have I got? I really like Tim Roth. I know you were saying, and you touched on it before, that you're not a fan. I'm a big fan of him purely because I'm a Tarantino fan.
Yeah, like, of course.
Him in Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction, I absolutely adore. And I think he's kind of like a typical bad guy in this one, so it's not even like he's really, again, he's not really cooking.
Yeah.
I think William Hurt is a standout in this movie as Thunderbolt Ross. And I thought he was really good in this too. And he was someone that did get to kind of dial it up a little bit. I feel like there's a lot of great actors here, but their performances aren't really home runs, probably due to the movie or the script. Ty Burrell getting a showing is always very solid. I always remember him from the Dawn of the Dead remake, which was pre-Modern Family. Yeah. Had Modern Family started when this came out?
Modern Family was 2009.
Yeah, so this is just before.
Okay, you got Peter Mensa in there as well, who's from 300, yeah, as well as
Big fan of Peter Mensa.
Yeah, he plays a great character in Jason X. Tim Blake Nelson plays Samuel Stearns, who obviously would go on to become the leader, which never eventuated, which is kind of sad, and that'll do me, 0.5.
Jobs, you're up.
I gave it a 1. I really liked the cast. I'm a big fan of Edward Norton. I think he did really well, as much as I said earlier that I'm a Mark Ruffalo fan. I really enjoyed him and preferred him over Eric Banner.
Ruffalo just got more time.
Brew a bit longer, you know, whereas definitely. Edward Norton just had this one and he did a great job. But yeah, I think because I've seen Mark Ruffalo be the Hulk more, I appreciate him more. Liv Tyler, I love her. As you said, she's not like amazing, but she's never shit. I just love her.
I'll give you that too.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Empire Records and Armageddon. And That Thing You Do is one of my favorites as well. I like that one.
That's great.
That's
a fun movie.
Yeah. And I loved their chemistry in this film. I think they really showed great chemistry compared to like Hugh Grant and Andy McDowell. Like, whew, they're like a 2, whereas these guys are like 11.
Well, let's be fair. Andy McDowell has that impact with everybody.
Yeah, that's fair.
Who was the love interest in the 03 Hulk?
I can't remember.
That's a very good question.
You guys talk.
So I gave it a 1 because I could really feel the chemistry between the two main characters. And then also the riff between
Jennifer Connelly.
Oh, really? I love her. The disconnect between her and her dad with William Hurt, I could also feel that as well. So I gave it a 1 because, there's no Oscar-winning performances, but it felt realistic to me between the relationships.
Yeah, I really dug it.
Cool. All right. Edward Norton. He is so much better than this film.
He is.
Yeah.
He is so much better than what this film had to offer. I know that there's a lot of stuff in there about how there were rewrites and script rewrites and he actually didn't get credits for it.
And we'll touch on that in fun facts because that's probably one of the biggest stories to come out of this movie.
But anyway, look, I just think he's better than the film itself. Do I think he's a decent Bruce Banner? Yeah, he's okay. If I'm going to pick between the three, I'm going to say that Mark Ruffalo is probably my favorite out of the lot. And I think it's only because I'm used to him more.
Yeah, that's exactly the same with me.
He made it his.
Yeah. Look, he's done a very good job of it, right?
He's great at being the geeky scientist. And
to be fair, what we know now post this movie, they made the right choice not that they had the choice, but Norton not being involved is probably better for the movies we got.
And don't get me wrong, like Eric Banner did a decent job in his version of it. Yeah. Like it wasn't terrible. I just think Mark Ruffalo has done a really good job of making the Hulk synonymous with himself, right?
Yep, 100%.
So you think about it and it works, right?
It does.
Liv Tyler, look, that could have been anybody, if I'm being honest. I 100% agree with you in regards to the things that she's sort of kind of.
They could have got Jennifer Connelly back.
They could have got Jennifer Connelly back and that would have been
I'm
good.
Okay with that because I do love Jennifer Connelly.
But then they would have cooked it because then she wouldn't have been able to come back to the MCU as somebody else, right?
Yeah. It gets messy. But this movie literally takes up at the end, from the end of the Banner Hulk.
Yeah.
The Banner Hulk one ends with him being in like South America
or
whatever.
They sort of do. It sort of does.
Yeah. It's actually really smartly done when you go deep
about it. Is Jennifer Connelly also Betty? Yep. Okay.
And this actually brings me to my next point. So Tim Roth is Emil Blonsky. We'll talk about this.
Yeah.
Tim Roth, massive fan. I think he's terrific. I love him in Reservoir Dogs. I love him in Pulp Fiction. I also love him in Rob Roy. He's a terrific character.
He's
in
a great
Roy.
Actor.
He's fantastic. He's got chops, right? I just don't rate him as Emil Blonsky.
Okay.
I just, he wouldn't, like he wouldn't.
What did
even,
he do wrong?
No, it's just he wouldn't have even cracked my top 100 picks of going, let's get him to be the bad guy or let's get him to be Abomination. It just doesn't calculate with me. And with that being said, like I watch him as Emil Blonsky and I'm not sold on it.
He just plays it like bad guy number three.
And it could be done by anybody. Right?
Did you like the look of Abomination?
It wasn't terrible.
No.
I like it.
It wasn't terrible. It wasn't fantastic. I mean, there's always got to be variations and minor differences between the comic books anyway, right?
I love the look of the Hulk in this.
And obviously the Hulk is different. The Hulk looks different in this than he does in all the rest of them.
Well, that's one of the things they did with each of the actors is obviously, and especially as the technology got better, they based the Hulk's face on the actor.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
William Hurt, obviously, is Thunderbolt Ross. Now, I've got an interesting question for you because you obviously know Sam Elliott played Thunderbolt
he nearly
Ross.
Came back.
And you are a fan of
I
Sam
am
Elliott,
a
right?
Fan of Sam
so
Elliott.
Who do you reckon did it better? Do you reckon Elliott did it better? Or do you reckon Hurt did it better?
I'm gonna say Hurt did it better only because he's in the better movie.
And how do you feel about him? How do you feel about William Hurt being replaced? Do you know that he's being replaced? Because he's coming back.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and guess who's playing him?
Who?
Harrison Ford.
No.
See, I'm okay with it because I love Harrison Ford.
Yeah, okay.
Like, yeah. But at the same
there's
time...
There's that Star
like,
Wars stuff again.
Yeah, there it is. Coming in.
But it's like... I feel they're all three of them are probably too old.
Yeah.
Especially if they're going to do what I think they're going to do.
Yeah, but he was lucky that he has come back for a couple of the...
But yeah, hang on. If they're going to do what they think they're going to do, wouldn't you say that Harrison Ford is too old for that as well?
Yeah, but I love him.
But you understand what I'm going?
He's definitely too old.
And like, wouldn't they be better recasting somebody younger doing what you and I are talking about?
Yeah, but money exists.
You don't know what we're talking about, do you?
I have no idea.
Thunderbolt Ross, as a spoiler alert for anybody who doesn't know, Thunderbolt Ross is actually the Red Hulk.
Oh.
He turns into the Red Hulk.
Okay.
And if they go down this line in the MCU, which makes a lot of sense for them to do so, they need a younger Thunderbolt Ross to be able to take over to be able to do it.
You would
and
think.
Don't get me wrong, it's all CGI and shit.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But yeah. You understand where I'm going,
yeah,
right?
Anyway,
you need the energy.
Yeah.
You know what?
He's got the energy.
You know who
he
they
got
need?
The energy.
You know who they need? They need Patrick Swayze to take over Thunderbolt Ross.
Dude, why you do this?
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's dead. Tim Blake Nelson.
You're fucked.
Samuel Stearns. I mentioned before, I love the fact that he was brought in as the leader, and I love the fact that they didn't really go into it,
like not in the slightest.
No,
like it was a seed planted for later
that which, never got done.
No,
if you know, you know.
Yes,
that's what it is. If you know, you know. And it was a really gentle nod to it, and I really
and
liked it.
I remember being myself back in 2008, shock horror.
as opposed to being that other guy.
Yeah. Although you know how he's doing the conversing with the computer, and it's Mr. Green and Mr. Blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, holy fuck, it's Reed Richards.
Yeah. Okay.
Because we'd have like the Fantastic Four movies.
Yeah,
I thought they're gonna bring Reed Richards into this,
and then
it wasn't. Yeah. But anyway.
I love Tim Blake Nelson. He's fantastic. Have you seen The Ballad of Buster Scruggs?
No, is that good?
It's so good.
He is also really good in Just Mercy. That's one of my favorite films. And
why do you keep talking about that one?
What's Just Mercy?
Michael B. Jordan. He's really good in that film.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of him. I reckon he's got chops. I reckon he's great at what he does. He's also speaking of Fantastic Four, he was also in the new Fantastic Four movie, the 2015 one.
Oh, Fan-four-stick.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
That movie was fucking god awful. A bunch of my mates who we all love comics, we went one of them listens to this show too. We like went to that movie. It was literally like, all right, guys, let's get this done.
In and out, guys. In and out.
It's like we were going to move furniture.
It's how we were with Madam Web.
Madam Web is exactly like that. He said we didn't go to Cold Club.
No, that's true.
Ty Burrell, whatever.
Well, he's in it for like two seconds.
Yeah, he's a nothing character. But
he's always good at what he does.
Yeah. And look, I mean, it's hard to take him seriously because I'm actually currently in the middle. Like, I'm about 80% done of Modern Family at the moment. I'm watching it with my wife.
So good.
So it's really hard watching him in that.
He's so good.
And
at
then
film.
moving away from that and watching him literally
He's got to be like Daniel Radcliffe. Like, no one is going to take him seriously. Like,
yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe's always Harry Potter. He will always be Phil.
That's a fair assessment.
You
should
see him in the Dawn of the Dead remake. He plays such a snarky prick.
Yeah, okay.
Like, he's a real arsehole.
Oh, don't do that to me. I don't want to see that.
He does it so well, though. He's real sarcastic, like arsehole.
I don't know if you've seen... Have you seen Morning Glory?
Yes.
I love him in Morning Glory. I think he's
can't remember him in Morning Glory.
He's only in it for like 10 minutes, but he's fantastic in it. He's the co-anchor that Rachel
McAdams
yes,
fires. Oh,
yes, he is. Yeah. And I love the quote that he drops when he's like, someone tell me why I'm logging off banginggrannies.com so I have to be here for this. Yeah, anyway, I love the fact that you've got this blank expression on your face.
Like, and
no, I'm
Christina Cabot, who played Kathleen Spar, she's in Fight Club as well.
Oh, love that movie.
Pride and Glory, she's in Man in the Moon. Peter Menso, we mentioned him before.
Yeah,
I loved him in Spartacus. He's fantastic in Spartacus. Mm. If you haven't watched Spartacus as a TV show, go and do it. It's terrific. He plays Animaeus in that, and it's great. And there's a very special mention to Lou Ferrigno.
Of course. Met him once.
Really?
Yeah, I went to Supernova. I met him. I got him to autograph of my World War Hulk #1.
Was he signing everything in the green pen? Because that would make a lot of sense.
No, but he had someone with him, right? And because I don't know if you know this, Lou Ferrigno is like very deaf. He's had bad hearing since he was like really young. I went to his seminar that he did at Supernova too, which was really fascinating, but he had a minder with him, and he was very sort of subtle and subdued in his like conversations and stuff. But, he was like, oh, you know, who do we make this out to? And I was like, oh, Adam. And he sort of turned and the guy next to him wrote down Adam so he could see what name to write on the comic or whatever. But yeah, he was lovely. Still looks like he'd like rip someone's
head. How long ago
off.
Was this?
This would have been, I reckon, when was, I want to say like maybe 09,
010. So that was only like a year after this happened.
But he also like at this little seminar thing, he like told his life story and that. It's just fascinating because obviously I remember like I used to watch like higher videos of the old Incredible Hulk TV show. That was a lot of the Hulk that I remember, that in the cartoon from when I was a kid. So I was marking out seeing him, and he was lovely, and he still looked like he beat the shit out of someone.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, is he still jacked, right?
Yeah, dude, yeah. Like
he was jacked back in the day.
Very firm handshake. but yeah, so I still love it. I love that he's still like sort of, I guess, champions this sort of stuff.
Yeah. I'm really glad that they brought him back as cameos for both the Hulk movies.
Yeah.
I think it's a really, really nice touch.
I think it's kind of like respectful as well.
Yeah. And I love the random cameo of the security guard that he actually played in it, because it's keeping it light without taking the piss.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I'm sure they would have got Bill Bixby back if he was still alive.
Did you know he was the voice of the Hulk?
Bill Bixby?
No, Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, yes.
So you know when obviously the Hulk talks, he only has a couple of lines, but Lou Ferrigno is the guy that actually does the voice for it.
Betty.
Yeah. That's exactly what he sounds like, Josie. Exactly what he sounds like.
Thank you.
Score. I'm torn. I'm really torn.
I'm Adam.
Okay. That's a good joke, Adam.
I would not respect that.
I'm giving it a 0.5. I almost gave it a 0.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Shit. Because it's based on the performance, not the actual actors, right?
Both impact it, right? And the reason why I'm going to give it a nudge is because I think that the performance was average, but I think that the cast was stacked, so it has to get halfway there.
Halfway there. Oh.
Wow, Josie.
No?
Should we move on?
You can keep going.
No, thanks.
Okay. The next
sitting on a chair. Okay.
Shit. The next is a basic plot and story. We just heard a lot from Lee. Josie.
Me. I gave it a 0.5. There's not anything, fabulous about it. Like it's a good start to the MCU, you know, gives a bit of this at the start. It kind of does a quick little pick up for us on where Banner is and what's happened and things like that. But
love that opening.
Yeah, really cool, right? It's a nice, quick way of doing it without dragging it out, but gives us enough information to where he's at and what's happened already. Another thing that I like about it, and I gave it a 0.5 because the rest is very superhero and bams and booms and all of that.
Bams and booms.
Hurry up and get to the action.
Yeah. Is that... As much as it's unrealistic, there is some really realistic stuff about it. I hate in movies when they end up in the middle of nowhere and then somehow they're right back in like America or in town or things like that. At least with him, it shows his struggle to like...
But he does that. He remember when he leaves Mexico or wherever he is, or Guatemala, literally like a day later, he's back in the States.
No, but you see him, he's like struggling to get money. He's like trying to figure out how to get back. Like it's not like, oh, boom, like here we go, he's there.
He hitches a ride with old mate in the Jeep and then he like bums around and scouts my idiot clothes.
And then how does he end up in the States?
He sneaks into the bus station. Is it bus station? Or
it's either a train station or a bus station.
Movie are you watching, Lee?
Not sold.
I feel compared to other like superhero movies and stuff, they're just like, oh, we're here 1 minute and then, oh, we're here the next. And then, it actually gets a bit more realistic with it all.
Yeah, okay? Lee.
All right, so Adam, you're up.
Suck it, motherfucker.
I've got 0.5 for story as well, and it's not that I didn't like it or anything. I just wrote that it's good, it's not great. I said it's kind of like it's a really good follow up to the Ang Lee Eric Banner Hulk of 2003 because it kind of follows on for it, but you don't have to have seen it. You can kind of also just Oh, yeah, I saw that. So this is kind of relevant, but it also it's the new stepping stone for the early MCU, much like Iron Man, which Iron Man 1, I think, is definitely a better movie. You look back at it in retrospect and it's like, okay, yeah, it's still very early MCU.
Oh, yeah.
Much like I'm saying about the tone of the movie, the MCU has changed over the years and over
so
the movies.
So much so.
Yeah, exactly.
When we went and saw Thor 3, we were like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, yes.
You could probably arguably say that Iron Man is, don't get me wrong, it is a better film in my opinion, but it's also probably more memorable.
Oh, it is, yeah. I think definitely. So too. But this is, you know, it's fun, it's entertaining, it's got a good, it's like a good cat and mouse kind of chase movie as well, which is always kind of fun enough, you know what I mean? It expands on the Banner sort of story really well and it adds more to the Thunderbolt Ross and bringing the Abomination. I think it was a massively good move. Like, I didn't like the Nick Nolte villain of the first movie. That was just kind of crap. I'm like, so it's great for the story that they do all these things, but it doesn't really blow anything away. Nothing really gets knocked out of the park, even though it's a lot of fun and it's a really good time. And the action when it hits is awesome. You just maybe could have had more of it because it is a bit kind of just there.
Well, arguably when it comes to the Hulk's like enemies, for argument's sake, Abomination will probably be up there as one of the ones to use if Red Hulk's not available.
Yeah.
That it makes sense, right?
I mean, I don't even think Red Hulk was around in 08.
No, what I'm saying is that what as a character?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I don't think so.
That'd be interesting to check.
Question. I don't know if it's from the comics or I just missed in the movie and things like that, but where does the name Hulk actually come from?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I just thought I was a bit...
Well, Hulk is just another name for big.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Is that what you're talking
about? I don't know if I just like missed a scene where they're like, oh my gosh, it's Hulk or something, but so or Hulk, if it's from the comics, but I just don't remember it where, you know, he says Hulk smash in this film, but that's the first time and I feel like only time that word is used.
Well, I mean, yeah.
January 2008, it was the same year.
What, the Red Hulk came out? Yeah.
Or Rolk, as we dub him.
Yeah.
Rolk. Okay, so we don't know where Hulk came from.
It's just the name they gave him.
Yeah, it's just the name, yeah. Good on you, Stan Lee. Looking for another. He was probably just scanning through a thesaurus and he's like, I've got a big character. Something big.
If something's hulking, it's really big. And
yeah, I just large, didn't know if someone
Tom
was
Hanks
like
in Hulk. Oh, wait, that's big. Oh, see what I did there?
You absolute twat.
Anyway, moving on.
Point five from me. Lee, what do you got?
All right, for me, it's interesting, actually. It's...
His torn again,
I'm torn between a 0 and a 0.5. I'm gonna agree with you guys. I'm gonna give it a 0.5, but the reason why I'm giving it a 0.5 is that the story itself is not original in its format anyway. It's really difficult to find originality, and I don't think I'm ever gonna find myself in a situation where if we ever do an MCU film again, which I'm sure we will, I'll ever give MCU films a full one for basic plot and story because they're already taken from the bare bones.
I was gonna ask you this.
Yeah, the
you
bare bones are already taken from comics.
I will pick you for that, Lee. Because it's not the fact that they're borrowing from the comics, they're also executing it a different way for a different form of media.
That's
so I think you need to give it its own flowers if they do a good job of it. Like, say, Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier, the Captain America comic, is phenomenal, like 10 out of 10, an amazing piece of work. The movie is vastly different, but it's so well done as well, I would still give it a full mark.
Okay. I still wouldn't.
I'll meet you in the car park.
Let's go.
Can I have the flowers?
You can have the flowers.
We're talking about an original story idea, and I guess this is the point. And I understand what you're saying about it being translated into a different media, but we're still talking about an original story idea that's already been done.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I'm going to give it a 0.5. They do it okay. It wasn't Oscar worthy by any stretch of the imagination, but it also didn't bomb as well. Like, it wasn't terrible.
I don't think many people went to this movie being like, I can't wait for the story of this one.
Yeah.
All anyone wanted to see was these two giant monsters beat the shit out of each other. And I'm happy that when it happens.
And saw the cast.
I've got a feeling the reason why I think this movie actually did okay, because it actually did all right in the box office, right?
Still the lowest grossing MCU movie of all time.
Yeah, but it still
did
okay.
That for its time?
Yeah, no, it made a shitload of money.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So I think the reason why I honestly think one of the reasons why it did so well is because of the Ang Lee 2003 version, because that's already been released 5 years ago and everyone's turning around and going, well, they're doing it again. Mm. Let's see what it's up to now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was also a lot of hype around the MCU starting at that stage.
Yeah.
So, you know, Iron Man had already come out and, you know, they're talking about Thor and, you
Captain
know, all
America.
Yeah, there's all these things coming out and stuff like that. So it makes sense, right? And there was a big hype around it.
Yeah.
And Iron Man, funnily enough, we're talking about Iron Man. Iron Man, funnily enough, was the make or break, right? Because if it failed, then MCU was in the toilet.
Robert Downey Jr.,
but
Oscar winner right there.
Yeah, he cracked it and smashed it and did incredibly well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just going to get a 0.5 from me.
Okay.
We're moving on.
I thought Joseph was going to take over the next category.
You
can actually host if you want. You can be the lead.
I could never do something as good as you as a
look.
My love.
We're going to do a movie sometime soon. I'll gladly let you do the full host of. up to three notable scenes and what you rate the notable scenes. We'll go around the room. I've only done three. I haven't overstepped the bounds.
Oh.
Thank you. We'll go score at the end. I have gone the chase through the streets that leads up to the first transformation. When they're all after him and all that. Even though the transformation itself is quite in the shadows, you don't really see much of it. I actually really enjoyed the chase. I thought it was really sort of quite thrilling and well done. And
how crazy was that dude's belly when they were practicing the breathing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that, I forgot about that. That was crazy.
The things that stick with you, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So that's my first notable scene. Who wants to go next?
Are we round robbing?
We are.
All right. Betty and Bruce getting it on, but then his heart rate is rising.
Oh, it broke my heart. That poor dude. You just realize you're like, oh, he will never be able to.
But he does though.
He just needs to learn how to control it.
When does he get to do it?
Isn't it in She-Hulk when you learn that you learn that he's got kids?
Yeah. I mean, interplanetary, but yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He got some.
Yeah, he did.
Also, elephant in the room, pardon the pun.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Do you think it's size relative?
Or do you think it expands when he expands?
Well, it would if he turns into the Hulk. Of course it would.
So if that's the case, he'd kill someone.
Well, yeah.
Like, that would be destruction. But
he doesn't want to kill Betty.
At the end, he's doing, like, his training so he can actually control it better, so he will be able to actually bone someone without killing them, Lee, if that's what you want to get at.
Split in two. Moving on.
Okay. Putting
your foot into a sock.
Fuck's sake, this is what I have to deal with. Anyway.
Lee started it, not me.
You guys suck. Not that one, but Bruce and Betty reuniting. So when they're at the diner, the pizza place. Yeah,
and she's with her current guy and just ditches him.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's rough, right? But and is he living with her? Because if he is, what's that all about, man?
Because he kind of disappeared and he's like the new guy. So.
Yeah.
Sorry, do you continue that?
No,
scene?
I was just saying, I just really felt that. Like it was so like heart wrenching. And then the rain, I'm a hopeless romantic. So I really reckon,
look, let's be honest, right? Ty Burrell's character got done dirty.
Yeah.
But he sold Bruce in. So
that was after she dogged him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
okay. Whatever. So you're a host. You're a hopeless romantic. Yeah. You're with a dude, and all of a sudden you see old mate that you used to be with. You ditching new guy.
Yeah, because he disappeared for 5 years. The love didn't go.
So the new guy just go kick rocks.
Well, no, we don't see what she does. She might go and talk to him or whatever.
No,
but
she doesn't.
No, she doesn't.
She doesn't.
She could.
No, she didn't.
Anyway.
So that's how you would play it.
Team Bruce and Betty.
That's how you'd play it.
I wouldn't play it that way. I'd talk to the dude, but I'm like, this dude I was in love with, I thought he was dead. He's been just like a
he's not.
He's disappeared for 5 years.
He's going to destroy me with 50 inches.
Oh, my God. I can't. Anyway, I thought that was a really sweet scene.
And green.
Adam, get him out of
The park scene with Hulk just fucking shit up in broad daylight, I love. The effects are still actually really quite good. I love that he like hammers everything, lays everything to waste and everything. The thing that just tips it off at the end is when like Tim Ross sticks up and he's like boots him. Like,
yeah.
and then just straight into the tree. Into the tree,
just
yeah.
Wrecks his shit. I love that
the
scene.
The sound cannons actually are pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's actually a really good touch too. Yeah. Yeah. And obviously because he's doing it to try and protect Betty as well, which is kind of, adds a little bit more of an emotional
bit cute
side to it. Yeah.
So I'm going to do two in a row for a reason. But the reason why I'm doing two in a row is because I've actually already mentioned them before.
Okay.
So Samuel Stern's turning into the leader.
Mm-hmm.
I love that as a scene. Like that whole scene is great. But it's like I said, it's a subtle nod. And if you know, you know.
Yeah.
The Lou Ferrigno character cameo. I love that scene where he's delivering a pizza and then all of a sudden he slides him a pizza.
Yeah.
I'll piggyback off that because I also like the nod to when Betty buys Bruce the purple stretchy pants.
Yeah.
And he like puts it on and he's like, no. I'm like, oh, that's a bit cute. Little nod to the Hulk. Yeah.
I'm surprised. My third and final one is the final fight between the Abomination and the Hulk. It's like the main event of the movie. This is what you've been wanting this whole time. It's like these two guys going. And honestly, I don't think it lets you down. It's like big smashing action. You get the Hulk thunderclap as well.
Yep. Yeah, that was cool.
Which is just so awesomely done. You also get the half-car boxing gloves. Like, hell yes. I remember at the time losing my shit in the cinema that he's like, you know, smashed the car in half and got a car on each, like half a car on each hand, like the boxing gloves. Like, I just love that shit. And the fact they actually went there and did it in this movie was so good. Because the thing that the Ang Lee Hulk missed was a big, like, gigantic smash em up fight with the Hulk. It was just this kind of weird shit going on, apart from that scene with the dogs, which is just odd. Hey,
indeed.
Yeah, so the final fight with the Abomination is definitely my big final scene. And let's go around the room for scores.
Whoa! I haven't done my third one yet.
I thought you did. Oh, no, Lee just jumped ahead. Okay, what's your third then?
The Stan Lee cameo. Even though it's very quick.
So, do you think that if we do MCUs in general, you'll find that yourself doing the Stan Lee cameo as a?
I don't know, because this is the first time I've seen him in a while, because I haven't seen a good MCU film and when he's still been alive. So it was nice to have him back on the screen, so that I was like, oh, I love him.
They hit you where you lived?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. All right.
He had some good ones over the years.
He did. Yeah. So I'm excited if we keep going with the MCU universe.
It's Iron Man. It's Iron Man 2 where he's Hugh Hefner, right?
Yes. Yeah. So good.
I also, it's not a notable scene, but there's a couple of things in there, because I it's been a while since I've watched this film, right? And I've watched a lot of MCU in between. And I want to mention the subtle early nods to the rest of the now fleshed out cinematic universe. Mm-hmm. So the things like S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's a mention of Nick Fury in there that, you know, if you blink, you miss it.
Yeah,
But just little things like that you're like, all right, they've obviously done a lot of groundwork, and they were doing a lot of groundwork early, and they've gone to that stage now, and going back and rewatching it. When you think about it, it was 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so there's been a lot of, and there's been a lot of films, what, like 30-odd films so that have happened films, since then.
Plus TV shows.
Yeah. So that universe has expanded completely.
So smart of them.
So what do we score on the notable scenes?
Notable scenes for me, I'm giving it a 0.5.
I gave it a 0.5 too.
I give it a 1.
Really?
Yep. I think when it hits good.
Smash, smash, boom, boom.
Yep. Next off is the appeal. I'm going to kick this one off. Growing up, I loved Marvel. I love the comics. I love the cartoons. I love the games. I love everything. I'm all about this. And I saw it as soon as I possibly could. I loved it.
So it's a 0.
It was just...
Must be. Minus.
Yeah. I just thought it was just such an exciting time. Like, it was just... Like, you couldn't wait for the next one. Now it's kind of like, oh, yeah, they're doing another fucking Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Like, back then, it was like, give me more of this shit. And honestly, it's detrimental because in the long run, the MCU basically made me not care as much about the comics because the movies influenced the comics too much and then the comics went shit.
Okay.
But, yeah, like, back then, I was just like, hook this to my veins.
But do you also think that it's got an impact on a lot of the original writers from the comic books aren't writing anymore?
Yes and no.
Like, I mean, Stan Lee's the creator of a lot of those comics, right?
Oh, fuck, no, man. At the time in the comics, they had a lot of great writers that are still around writing. It's the overarching sort of things that they've done. It's too much to get into right now because I'll take up another hour talking about it. But I've gone 1 for appeal. Wow.
Lily?
For me, I'm going to give it a 1. Very, very similar to Adam. I'm a massive comic book fan, not as big a comic book fan as Adam is.
Not a competition, Lee.
Apparently it is. I'm a comic book fan. I was looking forward to the Hulk coming out, and obviously it's almost the very, very, very infant stages of the MCU starting as well, right? And they basically had a blank canvas as to which way they were going to go about it. It made a lot of sense. To me, it made a lot of sense that the Hulk was one of the characters that they'd use, because the Hulk is probably more well known out of the Marvel characters as opposed to not. And it was interesting actually, because I remember, and again we're talking about it, and it's not about Iron Man specifically, but Iron Man was an interesting choice for me, because Iron Man, I'd read about Iron Man and I'd read a couple of the comics that he was in, but he was never a big character that I really sort of honed in with. Like Spider-Man is a massive Marvel character,
which they
right?
didn't have the rights to at the
time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And okay. I'm just using Iron Man as an example to start the MCU off was a really
risky,
yeah, it was a really interesting way. And don't get me wrong, they did a very, very good job about it. But yeah, it was a really interesting character to choose from.
If it was going to be anyone, you'd think it'd be Captain America.
Captain America would have made sense.
Yeah.
I would have thought that Captain America made sense. But with that being said, in the same vein, I understand why they also did Hulk.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
So 0.5 for me. One for me.
Who's your favorite Marvel character?
Are we including X-Men?
Yes. They're Bobby Marvel Drake. Characters.
Bobby Drake.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
You didn't pick that, did you?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Do you want to elaborate in like 10 seconds why?
He's an Omega level mutant.
Mm.
Omega level? Like the highest level mutant you can be.
Yeah.
And he's almost unstoppable. Like there's only like one or two characters that can beat him.
Interesting. Josie, yeah, awesome. Do you have a favorite Marvel character?
Not really. It depends on my mood, I guess. I really liked Wanda. I thought she was really cool and badass and yeah, I'm like, woo. I'll go with her.
Kill everyone.
You be a bad bitch. I love it.
Appeal, Josie.
I gave it a 0.5 because I never got into comics. I wasn't a comic gal. But I love the MCU. Whenever a new Marvel comes out, no matter what it is of any level, I will make sure that I go and see it. But the Hulk isn't – I don't really think of the Hulk when I think of Marvel, as in the movies. I know he's a well-known comic character and a Marvel character, but when I think Marvel, it's not one of the top films that I think about. So that's why it's gone down.
Do you have a favourite Marvel film?
It used to be Thor until...
Like the original Thor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it started to get a bit too silly by the second and third one. Yeah.
Well, then there's the fourth.
Oh, yeah, so it must have been the fourth one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Three wasn't bad.
I liked...
It was good, but it wasn't Thor.
No, but
yeah, it must have been the Thor that we went.
It was Thor that the public wanted.
It was them seeing Guardians of the Galaxy saying, we can make Thor this.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, and I really love the OG Guardians of the Galaxy too. Groot's one of my favorite characters. I have a lot of like a Groot mug and Groot
key ring
and things like that. So, yeah, not bad.
Okay.
Okay. So what did you go? 0.5? Yeah, okay. Then we have the ending, the final, and the climax. Let's start with you, Lee.
Sorry, did you give it a 0.5?
I did.
Okay. And you gave it a 1, hey, Adam?
I sure did.
Good for you.
It appeals to me.
It's very appealing.
And my interests.
Who would have thought?
Anyways, moving on. What are we doing now?
Ending.
Sticking the ending. Am I going?
Yeah.
Did it stick the ending? Look, again, sticking the ending for this particular movie is very similar to the basic plot and story. You know how it's going to end. Because it's already been written. So it's really difficult for me to be
it's
able
also
to...
It's also a superhero movie. They all end the same.
It's difficult for me to give it a full score. And I'm really glad that they didn't flesh out the leader even more. Like, they could have gone back to that. Mm. And I also really like... And it's interesting because the ending... Are we specifying the ending of the Hulk, of the Incredible Hulk, alone as a standalone film? Because if we can include the MCU as part of that, you take a look at what's happened since then, the Abomination has come back and
just the movie
and reprised his role.
Yeah, I know.
Right. So as the movie itself, it's going to get a 0.5. It's nothing special. But in the MCU, maybe score it maybe a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
Because I really like the fact that they've actually, he's actually got a redemption arc.
Yeah, but then if you do that, then we're also basing previous scores on like sequels and shit like that, which we just can't do.
Well, again, but we have though. Like, I mean, I remember when we were doing The Terminator, a large portion of the scores were obviously impacted by the fact that T2 had a massive impact on it.
Yeah, sure. But like the ending, you based on the ending of the
so
fucking
the
movie.
Ending on the as a standalone ending for this particular movie by itself, it's 0.5. It's nothing special.
Well, on the back of that, I also went a 0.5. I wrote that it's very tough for me. I said I feel the ending's pretty standard superhero stuff, and I don't know if it's worth holding it against it, to be honest. But like, I like the meditation thing at the end where he's like learning to control his shit. I was even like now like really pumped for that credit scene when we do see the appearance of Tony Stark is like really cool. Talking about making a team.
Do you actually interesting? Question. Sorry to cut you off. Do you count?
Yes.
That as an ending?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's part of the ending.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because I remember when we went and saw Iron Man at the cinema, and Nick Fury is the post-credit scene. Like, like blew the hat off my head. And having Iron Man, and this was very cool. I said, but you know, it's being the second of the post-credit scenes. It's not as big as Fury.
Yeah.
We'd already seen Tony Stark, so I'm sticking with 0.5.
I also went a 0.5. Very similar to what you've both said that, yep, the end fight scene is epic and massive with lots of explosions and fights and nods to the Hulk. But, yeah, it's just another superhero film ending. There was no, you know, cliffhanger or things like that. But even watching this probably for the third or fourth time now, when Tony Stark walks in, you get very giddy. You're like, oh, like it's beginning. Shit. Like, oh my God. So having that little like Easter egg at the end there brings it up to a 0.5 for me.
Yeah. All right. Now that wraps up our five categories. We have two things left that are just a little separate. We have favorite notable quotes. I don't have many.
Sorry, Adam, before I forget, do we know if Betty and Bruce end up together? Like in the She-Hulk and stuff? Is that who he has Bebez with?
Nope. Well, there was a love interest thing between him and Black Widow.
Yes, that is correct. But that never really went anywhere.
No, that's right.
But like,
no,
I feel
Betty was never.
I feel
seen
bad
because
I should have added this to my ending. But like, you look, she's looking at Bruce on the camera, puts it away. He does the necklace, and then there's nothing after that. And I feel a bit bad that there wasn't another film for them to kind of wrap
things
up their story.
Got really muddled when it came to the Hulk, because all he was an extra character in other movies that I feel
exactly.
A lot of his
he didn't
really,
get his
really
storyline. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that's the reason why there's been such a call about Ruffalo getting his own standalone film. Mm-hmm. Because you know he's made the Hulk. He's made the Hulk character his own.
Yeah.
He deserves to be able to flesh it out even more.
They've said multiple times it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then, as you said, Black Widow comes in and ends up being kind of his like Betty by being the one to calm him down. But again, you don't really get much of that. So I didn't know if the She-Hulk kind of.
I hated that.
The mind boggles, right? Because to be honest with you, I would prefer to get a Hulk standalone film as opposed to the Black Widow standalone film.
The Black Widow one was way too late.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Sorry.
That's okay. Up to three notable quotes. Does anyone have many quotes? I'm going to get two.
I've got a couple.
I have three, but like they're
and I've got one, a feeling, I've
one
got a
word
feeling,
and two word.
I've got a feeling that they're going to be very similar across
okay.
the board.
I'll go first. Hulk smash, the most iconic line
of
the movie.
Yep. I thought you would have. I liked the line from Ty Burrell where he goes, "He protected her. You almost killed her."
Yeah, it's a good line. I get it.
Yeah, that is good. I like that. Yeah. What do you got?
Don't make me hungry. You wouldn't like me when I'm hungry. Yeah, it always reminds me of the Snickers ad.
Yeah.
True.
When they ask Emil Blonsky, how are you feeling? And he's like a monster. I'm like, it's such a cheesy line. But it's like straight out of the comic though.
Yeah, but you need the cheese for
exactly,
it to sell,
exactly,
right?
Man. And I dig that shit.
Me in a metal tube, deep underground with hundreds of people in
that's
in the most
great.
Aggressive city in the world.
He's like, yep, let's take a cab.
Yeah.
I had the word dad when she shouts it because she says general throughout the whole film. And then eventually when she's trying to like stop him and she yells dad, I remember seeing that for the first time and being like, oh, damn. Like, okay. Like,
by the way, he's also a shit dad.
Horrible dad.
He's horrible.
Horrible dad.
Shit dad.
Thunderbolt Ross is
sort your shit out, Boo. Thunderbolt Ross.
I got nothing.
That's it. I'm done.
And my final one is when he falls out of the helicopter and you just hear him go, oh, shit.
That's kind of fun, yeah. All right, random fun facts and extras. Let's go quick and around the room. We're probably going longer than we need to.
Banner was asked for a prize but turned it down.
Okay,
interesting. You know what? Fuck it, let's go now. So according to Tim Roth, he's spoken about this as well. So Edward Norton was rewriting scenes on set every single day.
I've heard that.
He even directed himself in many scenes. And
and didn't he have what's the word when they use a different name?
Pseudonym,
thank you.
Well, Norton had so many disagreements with the director about not having enough creative control that he refused to do any publicity after the movie and refused to reprise the role again.
Which is part of the reason why he got binned.
Such a shame.
Basically, it was like he wanted to direct and run the movie. I can't even remember which movie it was. It was a movie that he did and he basically got to do that.
Yeah.
And he was apparently never been the same since because he always wants to be in control.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Shame, because he's so talented. He's ruined it for himself,
incredible.
Hasn't he?
Yeah, so that was a part of it. You know what? I'll just keep going. Abomination was meant to return in Age of Ultron, the second Avengers movie. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Does it say why it didn't?
I think they just put it on the chopping room floor. Like it was supposed to come in as a second antagonist, and they just ended up binning it.
So we didn't see the Abomination again until Shang-Chi,
yep.
And then he showed up in She-Hulk.
Yeah, I did
mind that movie.
I did love the pop to Abomination popping, like popping, just randomly in popping. Shang-Chi, yeah,
like an underground fight.
And he's fighting Wong of all places, of all people.
It is great.
Love Wong. All right, who else has got what?
It is the shortest film, tied with I think Thor Dark. Dark World. They are the two shortest films in the MCU universe.
Matt McConaughey auditioned for Hulk and got shut down.
Well, that would have been good.
Would have been interesting, right?
Yeah.
I would not. I just can't see that.
I can.
All right.
Sam Elliott was going to reprise his role as Thunderbolt Ross from the 03 movie, but he's replaced. We touched on that earlier.
You know, it's interesting you say that, right? Because don't get me wrong, I'm a massive fan of Elliott, right? Mm. But William Hurt did a good job.
He did a great job. He looks like a stereotypical general.
But if you actually read the comics, he actually does look like, yeah. he looks like Thunderbolt Ross as well, with the mo and everything.
He also looked a bit bulkier.
Yeah,
I don't know if you beefed up for it or whatever. Edward Norton's a big Hulk fan.
Yeah.
That's why he wanted to do it.
What's his name, Lou Ferrigno?
Yes,
suggested that it'd be Edward Norton.
And I've got that in my fun facts as well. And the reason why he suggested Norton for the part is that he said that Norton reminded him of Bill Bixby, who played the original Banner in the TV show.
Oh, there you go. I have Liv Tyler took the role without reading the script.
Yep.
Mm. And apparently it's the only Paramount film out of the MCs.
Yep.
Which is the reason why it's not available on Disney Plus.
Yeah, right.
Screw you.
I said my best one till last. Liv Tyler is finally set to reprise her role.
When?
In Captain America: Brave New World. It is set to be launched in 2025.
Adam, can we go see it?
Hell yes.
Yay.
Hold.
Opening weekend.
Tim Blake Nelson is also reprising his role as the leader.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. Now we're cooking.
I've been saving this little nugget. All pod.
I still have like three facts and you're cooking me here.
Sorry, man.
Okay, bro. That's okay.
Yeah. So it's a massive pop, right?
Massive pop.
So Liv Tyler's reprising her role finally.
So it's a Captain America movie.
Which
is now Sam Wilson.
Which is really interesting. But according to the credits, and there's not a lot of information on it, but according to the credits, Mark Ruffalo is not even in it. Which is weird, right? Because all of a sudden now you've got Tim Blake Nelson and Liv Tyler both reprising their roles.
That's ridiculous.
Edward Norton.
Yeah, with a 16-year gap, but the Hulk's not in it.
That doesn't make sense.
Piss on that. The intro to the movie that you were talking about, the little montage, it's actually it's recreations of the old TV show.
Cool.
So a lot of the intro to the old TV show is kind of recreated in that. They also have in one of the scenes the sad theme. The little sad piano tune is in one of the scenes from the TV show. What else do I have? The producer of the movie calls it a requel, like a sequel reboot. David Duchovny was also considered.
Oh, I do love him.
He was considered for Bruce Banner.
Yes.
I feel like he's too... he's not geeky enough.
He could have done it. Dude, don't show me a video while we're filming.
I'm not
showing
you a video. I'm just showing you that this is Brave New World.
Okay, awesome. The other one I've got is that's the lowest grossing MCU movie, even though it made over $200 million.
Wow. And it's still the lowest.
Oh dear me, what a tough time they had.
What a hard time to be in the MCU.
All right, speaking about hard, it's now time for maths.
All right, maths.
No more Hulk jokes, please.
Maths.
We're not talking about Hulk's wang anymore.
So we am I doing the whole thing?
What do you mean the whole thing?
IMDb gave it 6.6.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We gave it a total score of 9.5.
We didn't go around the room. What did you give it?
3.
I gave it a 3.
I gave it a 3.5.
Oh.
So it's a 9.5. What did you say we got it?
9.5.
Oh, good work, Lee. Your math checks out, brother.
Quick math. Me like you.
So we've given it a total score of 63% or 63.3%.
So we're pretty close to
IMDb
what...
IMDb have given it a 6.6.
Yeah, nice.
Not bad.
We did well.
I'm okay with that.
It's close.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm surprised, actually. I would have thought that I'd given it worse than 3, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it kind of adds up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised. I'm actually surprised that you didn't give it more, and I'm surprised you gave it as much as it did.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. Appeal for any of these Marvel movies is going to get a 1. Oh, that's just straight out the gate.
Yeah, well, that's right. But I think that's the reason what we were talking about before, about sticking the ending and the basic plot and story. Like, they'll never get ones from me for that particular reason.
And I feel if it was a different Marvel film, my appeal would have been 1 rather than
5. Yeah, of course. Yeah. And I mean, we're talking about Iron Man, right? It's a different movie. And I guarantee that Iron Man, if we were to do Iron Man, it would score better.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, without getting too deep in the weeds, If we're going to do a series of movies, we always start with the first one before we do the sequels, like we have with Lethal Weapon, Terminator, and Die Hard, and all that shit. These Marvel movies, whilst they are part of a grander thing, like, you know, if we were to do, I don't know, Iron Man, we'd start with Iron Man.
Yeah,
right? If we were to do another, what would be our next MCU movie, do you think?
Well, I would hazard to say that you'd probably do Iron Man next, it
would
surely.
Yeah, I would say Captain, and then Captain America.
And then follow the release.
And then if we did Spider-Man, which one would we do?
We talked last year about doing the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man because that got me very excited.
Yeah, but that's not MCU though.
I know it's not MCU. I'm just saying. Like, let
me ask you the same question. If we did episode 4 Star Wars, you wouldn't go to episode 6. If we did episode 4 for Star Wars,
right,
as the first Star Wars film that we did,
yes. We
wouldn't then skip to episode 6 or 7.
No, because 5 is the best one.
I'm talking about chronologically.
I know what you're saying.
But this is what I'm saying about Spider-Man. How would we do Spider-Man? Because I love the Tobey Maguire ones, but it's not a part of the MCU. So but then we also would love to do the Tom Holland ones.
Spider-Man, for me, the way that I see it, Spider-Man is detached away from the MCU because this is an MCU, basically.
Would we be able to do both the Tobey Maguire one and the Tom Holland one?
100%.
Cool. We can do all of them. We'll even do the Andrew Garfield ones. I'm okay
with that.
What's wrong with the Andrew Garfield ones?
That is definitely not great.
The lowest of the Spider-Mans.
Look, he is a good Spider-Man. He's not a good Peter Parker. But that's not his fault. It's the fault of whoever made those movies.
Right.
The writer.
We have gone far too way out as we needed to. Anyway, this was our chat about The Incredible Hulk from 2008. Let us know your thoughts on this movie. Is this one that really hit home for you back when the MCU was in its infancy? Who's your favorite Hulk is what I want to know. I'm sure there's some Banner enthusiasts out there. I'm expecting most people think that Ruffalo is the best. I mean, I'm outvoted here, but I'm a big Norton fan, but I think Ruffalo's fantastic as well, and he's really made it his own. The Ruffalo Hulk, when he transforms as well, looks just so good.
Yeah, but that's a show of the times, though.
It is. It's an updated thingamabobs.
I'd also like to point out as well, Edward Norton's favorite, like, best film of all time.
Here we go.
It's got to be American History X.
Oh, he's good in that.
It's fantastic.
When I think of him, I think Fight Club.
Fight Club too.
Yeah.
I love Fight Club. He's great. Okay, this is all getting a bit irrelevant. Hit us up on Facebook, on X, on Instagram. Let us know your thoughts on The Incredible Hulk and us talking shit about it. It has been a hell of a lot of fun. But until we meet again, this has been Two Guys, a Girl and a Movie Podcast. My name is Adam.
I'm Josie. Damn it!
And I'm Lee.
Thank you for joining us and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.